intuitive show. This is Anne Webb and Tallgrass Animal Acupressure Institute with Amy Snow and Nancy Zadonis. We are so excited that you're here to join us tonight. Just to let you know, if you haven't seen the show before, we talk about all things animal here. And tonight we're very excited because Nancy and Amy have really been pioneers in the field of animal acupressure. They're international authors, international teachers. This is one of the oldest schools of acupressure. And I'm just going to talk to them about something that benefits animals so much. And I can also speak from being a student. So welcome, Amy and Nancy. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much for having us, Anne.
Absolutely. Both of you have quite an extensive background, so we have a lot of territory to cover, and we have people hopping on as we're talking. We are going to be able to answer questions as we get closer to the end, so feel free to post those. We will be able to have Amy and Nancy respond to those. So, and also, please don't keep this a secret. We would like other people to be aware of animal acupressure, and I'm sure that you have family and friends who have pets who would really like to hear what we're talking about tonight. So don't keep this a secret and let other people know as we're here. So Nancy and Amy, could you tell me a little bit about both of your background? How did you get started in this? And just tell us how this all happened. How did you grow this amazing school?
It's kind of an interesting story. I worked in DC for a number of years. With the government, and had always had a fondness and love for animals, and was transferred to Colorado, and got my first horse, and that really shifted things for me. I ended up going to acupressure school, and then working on people to begin with, but then when I was working on the riders, and a lot of our clients were riders. So I was working on them, and they'd say, you know what, this is a really good idea, but it's the horses that I'm working with in Jesus, not me. And so we started to work with a veterinarian who's very open to alternative complementary therapies. And things sort of grew from there, because what happened was we were able to film the results of the work that we did in terms of having horses, particularly horses, within a couple of sessions, they were doing so much better. So we just kind of kept growing the business that way through word of mouth. And then we thought, you know what, we're reaching this amount of people, but there's so many more people that this can benefit the animals and the individuals. So that's when we decided to write the book, which was the first book to come out in 1950. So I think we're on our seventh edition now of the Happy Ghost book. Later followed the school, and things really developed from that point. It's kind of neat because we started with an idea and of helping people, and now it's really a full-fledged profession, and we're so thankful to have been able to be a part of it.
Yeah, so I have a little bit of interference, but I think I caught everything you were saying was that you started to work with a veterinarian, and that grew into writing a book, mm-hmm. and that sort of grew into the school from there. Okay.
Yeah, my background's a little different. Back in 1976, I was dragged up to Phoenix, Arizona to study with a woman named Mary Burmeister, who was a war bride from Japan. And she was teaching Jinshin Jitsu. And she knew I was an engineer by training, and she knew I was probably very skeptical. And she put me down on the mat. I was the first guinea pig. And I had had a shoulder injury from racquetball. So she started working on me. And when I was driving back down to Tucson, I was living in Tucson, with my friend who had dragged me up there. I suddenly realized my left arm, I could use it again. So wow. For me, I realized immediately the power of acupressure. Jinshin Jitsu is the Japanese form of acupressure, and it is based on Qigong, just the way all of Chinese medicine is based on Qigong.
So Qigong, could you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Qigong is like a big wealth of, think of a cauldron, a wealth of rich food in it. It's very nourishing. It takes on many forms. There's dance form, like Tai Chi is a dance form. There's everything grows out of Qigong because it means energy technique. And there's Qigong specifically, which are specific energy techniques, but it's based on the Tao and the understanding of yin and yang and how energy flows, how qi, which you can see as CHI or QI, how it flows both through the body, through all living things. Does that help, or do you want more definition?
Yeah, I think when you talk about yin and yang, I'm not sure everybody totally gets that concept. Maybe expand a little bit on that, some basics, just to help people understand a little bit more in depth.
Okay, well, yin is more like, it's more substantive, it's like water. And its opposite is fire, which is heat and action, and you can't hold on to it. Whereas water collects, it's cool. And those two are absolutely opposite from each other. And it's you need to put them together to create a balance. And that's when you see that symbol, it's known as the Taiji symbol, that looks like two things going. It's constantly dynamic. And in your body, and in the dog's body, horse body, cat body, yin and yang are constantly nourishing and moving each other, because yang moves and yin nourishes. It's a constant activity going on.
So it's a dynamic balance of health.
So tell everyone a little bit about how does that apply to our pets? It's a vast topic, but I think that's why we're all here.
Well, they're living creatures just as we are, and they have, just the way we do, have energy pathways. Now, what those energy pathways are known as meridians or channels, and it's took Chinese medicine doctors who went from village to village thousands of years ago, and they kept observing what was going on, and they would use the on the surface of the skin, they would feel different places and see what the reactions were. But over 5,000 years, they were able to observe very specific things that would happen. And what has always excited me about Chinese medicine, which is what acupressure is based on, is the fact that you had this vast country with any number of acupressure, acupuncture practitioners. And the amazing thing is they all came to the same conclusion that these are where the meridians were. These are where the
association
points on them are. So this is very exciting stuff. They might have called it a different name, but the energetics or the attributes of how they react, how these points react, are absolutely the same throughout this huge country with all these different practitioners. Well, what part of what Nancy has done over the past 30 some years, she helped transpose from human to dog, and that's in the Western world. But in China, they did use especially acupressure, known as Tuina, to help their cattle, their horses,
even chickens,
even aviary, yeah, mm-hmm. chickens. Mm-hmm. So frankly, it was their medicine, mm-hmm. and it worked, and it mm-hmm. does.
Yeah, and that I think people are very interested maybe to hear some stories about experiences you've had with success stories with animals. I know there's been many, many of them, but if any stand out, I'm sure people would love to hear those.
One was a goat that I was working on, and I was actually visiting a relative in Ohio, and the goat was not able to give birth, and so I worked points that are known to induce labor, and of course, the vet was called immediately, even before I had gotten there. And lo and behold, by the time the vet got there, the goat's the baby was born and everything was fine. Another interesting story was working with a horse who had had a very severe cart accident. And the horse had been, oh gosh, I think through four or five different vets, and basically they had just given up on the animal. And it took about 4 to 5 months, but through mm-hmm. consistent work with the mare, she was able to be brought back to being pasture sound. She wasn't rideable again, but her physical and also her emotional, mental situations vastly improved. So she ended up having a really nice, good life. Mm-hmm. Do you have some stories that
well,
you'd like
tell
to talk
a
about?
Recent one. Oh, yeah, yeah. A conversation we had this week.
Just the other day, a woman called, and she had happened to read a blog that Amy and I had written years ago about head shaking. And she belongs to a group for idiosyncratic, thank you, head shaking. And it's her husky dog. And the point is governing vessel 26. And she wanted to call and thank us because that's the only thing that has ever helped her dog.
Wow.
It'll immediately get him out of that zone. And she's now trying to focus on knowing when that's going to happen prior. So that, and she's realizing there's differences in his breathing patterns. So she's focusing in and honing in on when she can use it as a preventive point as well,
wow.
just a situational point. So that's pretty exciting too. There's just so many over the years, it's hard to winnow them down to a couple. Working at the, I believe it was the Akron Zoo, on a flamingo who had been in an incubator, and her neck was just, it was a missetting, but she was able to regain the ability to strengthen and straighten her neck, which was really amazing as well. And again, it was working with staff and having them carry on the points and be able to ongoingly help the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you feel that people, even if they don't go through your program, we'll definitely talk about that too, but that people can, it sounds like you've had one person who tried, who wasn't a student, who tried just a point at home and it happened to really work. Do you find that people can do that? Like if they just, you know, maybe haven't gone through a program but can use acupressure on their own with their pets?
I believe that they can. And I don't say you should go around doing that and pretending you're a practitioner by any stretch of the imagination. But acupressure can be so powerful and so incredibly at your fingertips, and you can access the healing energy, you can balance the chi in particular situations with just a point or two. So absolutely, and the fascinating thing is we'll have people come to class and they'll say, well, I just want to learn how to do this for my dog, or somebody told me it was a good idea, blah, blah, blah. And then 9 months later, they're a practitioner because it's just that, it kind of grabs you.
Yeah.
The more you learn, as you know, the more you want to learn. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, as I was, it is so vast and deep. And you know, you talk about in the program, there's certain things, for example, the tongue, that's just this in and of itself
mm-hmm.
is its own like topic. There's so many points. Off the top of my head, I can't remember. How many do you, off the top of your head?
You know, 361 known, but there's another group of points also known as the classical points, especially for animals. And so there are a lot of points, but that's not the point. The point is that the second you touch anybody, an animal, a human, anybody, the energy is changed in the body. Now, if you put your hand on your dog, mm-hmm. you're very conscious of where you put your hand. So that's how healing touch of any sort works really, really well, because it changes when you add your touch to the animal, to the surface of the skin or the fur, you're actually changing the flow of energy, which is chi. And it'll it results in moving vital substances such as the body fluids and blood,
nutrients.
It changes everything. So the real reason to learn acupressure is more that it's more effective. But the second, for instance, you run your hand over the top of the horse or the dog, just off the midline, for instance, you're already balancing the animal. You're already bringing a level of balance. And sometimes that's all they need. So you don't have to be too esoteric. That could be, but the difference is the healing intention on your part.
Which brings me to another story, which I always find it's an interesting story to me. We were long ago working on a horse, and what we immediately started to do is when we would work on him, we would do the acupressure session, and we always left people with points for them to work so that they could get in touch with their own healing energy and really get a different appreciation and understanding of their animal. So we gave a series of, I think it was 3 points that we wanted this woman to work. And so we came back, I think, a week or 10 days later, and I said, "How's your horse doing?" And she said, "Oh, it's great." And I said, "Wonderful, show me what you're doing." And so she worked these points, and they really weren't all that close to where the points were supposed to be. But to each point, it's that intentional touch and how she came at it. And it's really heartwarming to see that happen. And you just get to know how important that is and where you're coming from, how that promotes what you're actually doing and bringing forth.
Yeah. When someone's doing massage versus acupressure, what do you think, if you could explain a little bit what the difference is in that, because I think sometimes people get a little bit confused, like, why do acupressure versus massage?
Well, simply, massage is manipulation of tissue, whereas acupressure, you're working with the energy and the energetics of the body. You're working with the meridian system. You're affecting, the more you know, the more efficient and more effective your sessions with the animal can be. Basically, it's the difference between massage and acupressure, acupuncture, or tuina, which is the original Chinese acupressure massage, which is used, by the way, in China more than acupuncture, because it's there are clinics all over China that use tuina, which is acupressure massage. The energetics of the body affect the internal organs, whereas massage, you're dealing with fascia and more superficial tissue. I think that is probably the most dramatic difference.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I would say is that, and Amy mentioned this, the energetics of points. So say stomach 36, which has 3 pages worth of benefits, but succinctly it raises qi in the body. It's good for the gastrointestinal system. So there's very specific functions and attributes of each point that make it somewhat different than massage. We have probably, I would guess, maybe 50% of our students have a background in massage and or have acupressure and go on to take massage courses. So the two are extremely complementary and really work nicely together.
Yeah. Yeah, I've definitely found that. And I found that my massage background helped me. You also need to be familiar with those landmarks and where the muscles are and different things like that. So, and that, you know, mentioning that, could you talk a little bit about how the program works?
Sure. So we have a series of hands-on programs. There's two. You have to take 2 of 3 hands-on courses, and that could either be the tuina class, the intro to animal acupressure, or the specific conditions and meridians course. So then there are also a series of 9 online courses, which you take from your home, computer available 24/7, and they're built progressively so that they build the information that's given in each of the classes builds on the previous class. When you take those courses, there's anywhere from 12 to 24 lessons per class, And we have made use of quizzes, not so much to check people, but to really help reinforce the salient issues of each of the courses. And then there are also a series of case studies for the classes, hands-on and online, that really give us the opportunity to see the work that you're doing, because those are submitted online, and then we score those and give you feedback. So there's a lot of interaction with the program. And that's been developed over the past, really, 15 years, and mm-hmm. kind of nicely, I think, honed things in pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how would you say acupressure in this country has grown? I mean, I'm not sure of the total history of it. Would you say you were the first to bring it to animals?
Well, I think Linda Tellington Jones has done a lot of work with acupressure and hands-on work. Mm-hmm. And Jack Maher was also definitely a leader in the industry. I think we're kind of thrown into that mix as well. Mm-hmm. So it's grown significantly to when we first started. What comment would be, you do what for animals and why? To today, there's multiple schools, there's magazines internationally, many that you can, any food store that you go to has numerous magazines on equine wellness, animal wellness, dogs naturally. So it's really, really grown a lot. There are also vet schools that are teaching complementary therapies. So it's tremendous growth.
You know, the goal is to create an integrative approach, because, you know, there's, you know, if the animal is bleeding out, acupressure is not a good idea. Mm-hmm. But you have to have enough Western medicine. And, you know, there's a lot of good in the Western medicine. Some of these animals wouldn't even be among us if we didn't have it. But, for instance, aging issues, what are the kinds of issues, lamenesses that the vet has said, okay, this could be helped. Yeah, it's unspecified. Mm-hmm. Horses. You know, now it's time to work with one of the other modalities. the Western approach, if you didn't have surgeries, that's not, you know, our business. And when we're teaching, we're very clear about what our scope of service is, so that we understand each other and work well with the veterinary community.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of which, I know veterinarians more tend to use acupuncture, and people might be wondering what the difference is. Why do acupuncture versus acupressure?
Do you
want to
do it? I do it.
You know, well, obviously needles is acupuncture, and hands, elbows, whatever is acupressure. We're hearing that some vets are moving over to acupressure because you're introducing your energy with the animal, and that can be so much more powerful than putting a needle in and a couple, 10 needles in and walking out the door for 20 minutes. That can have a lot of good too. But acupressure has a whole different flavor. It has a different context. It depends on which school the acupuncture folks have gone to, whether they're really getting a traditional Chinese medicine understanding and ability to assess and work within the traditional Chinese medicine framework. Some schools do, some schools don't. There's different concepts and different ideologies.
The other thing I'd say too is that with acupuncture, you're stimulating the energetics of each of the points by the insertion of the needle, which is left to the world of vets, and that works really well. And in acupressure, you're using the same points, and you're stimulating the energetics and functions of those points with thumb pressure or finger pressure versus a needle. There's ways of tonifying and sedating points with acupressure as well. So I think that gap is kind of narrowing a bit too. And one of the vets that we work with is really excited to be able to show her clients mm-hmm. points that they can do after mm-hmm. they've seen it for acupuncture. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see that almost, kind of, it's quite coming full circle, but really holistic approach of involving the owner as well.
do you have any cases or animals you've worked with where there was a whole group of people involved that you might be able to talk a little bit about, like different practitioners using different modalities?
Absolutely. We've worked with, I'll speak mostly to horses, but involving a holistic farrier and a holistic veterinarian, acupressurist as myself, trainers to make, and so that the regimen for strengthening and conditioning is done appropriately and accurately, saddle fitting, and nutrients as well. So that's really the only way to go. It's sometimes very difficult to do that because there's so many variables, but it's absolutely the correct way to go.
With the canine world, just to add that, because not everybody has a horse. With the canine world, we see trainers turning to us to some degree and saying, okay, we have this issue, anxiety, a lot of dogs, fearful, timidity. We can work with that very well and help the animal relax, be calmer, more focused for training, and helping the owner know how, some techniques to help that animal at that time even. So, and it doesn't have to be a whole session. It doesn't have to be, but it's just enough to support the animal in that other environment, such as a training environment.
And do you find that most of the time when you're working with an animal that they'll sit there for it and take it in? Horse, dog, cat, most of them are pretty responsive.
All of the above except cats.
If cats need it, they know it. They're so smart and they're highly energetically connected and in tune with their own bodies, more so than a dog. And I know horses are pretty in tune with their bodies as well, but don't show it very well sometimes. But cats even know their meridians. I've gotten done with a session with a cat, and they've gone down there with their tongue, lung, large intestine. They are amazing animals. So you have to just look at the animal within their own context, I guess. Because some animals are very stoic. I mean, we've seen, been in classes, and the horses will be, or the dog will be, somebody will be working on them, and then they're done and they walk off and the animal has just stood there being, oh yeah, right. And the next thing you know, they go off into a corner and go, shake all over, move their own sheet. It's really beautiful to see.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing to watch them, to see that the release, to see that energy. It's so tangible, but, and it's rewarding to be able to see that. And it is funny, I have found, with cats, even with massage and just plain old energy work, straightforward, that they will just leave when they're done. They're just done. I'm wondering if, just sort of like when you look back on your career doing this and the time you spent doing this, how has it impacted your life?
What a question.
Whoa. Yeah.
Nancy needs to start because she started this whole thing 30 some years ago. So,
it is a good question. And I can remember to this day, the moment that I had the idea of we need to write a book, we need to get this out there. And again, that was probably at that point around 1990. So I think what's most rewarding is being able to see it as a good idea. And wow, what if we try this? And working with the old texts, and then moving that to a point where it's become really pretty mainstream. So it's been an incredible journey, very interesting, very rewarding, and the people that we've gotten to meet along the way, as well as the four-leggeds, it's been absolutely amazing. Probably not a very good answer because it's so personal, but it's really pretty inspiring because of the people who come to learn are just so wanting to soak it up, and there's so much care and concern for their own animals and how much they want to give back to the world. And, you know, sometimes things get a little crazy, so it's always really heartening to work with the people that, that we get to work with.
Yeah, I've been excited about the fact that, you know, we've been teaching all over the world. And, you know, the United States is wonderful. I love it. I'm a native. and we've had, you know, obviously a major amount of our students are from there. But to see it evolve and continue, like we're growing in England. We've got two instructors in England now, coming up with two more assistants. We've a new instructor in Israel. We've taught in Holland. We've taught. Well, we taught in Israel as well.
We have a Canadian instructor now as well.
We now have a Canadian instructor and Australia. We've been teaching in Australia for 18, 19 years now. So that's been exciting to see that our hard efforts, the books we've written, the charts we've, Nancy in particular, has created, this and videos, all the things that we've been doing to communicate acupressure for animals, it's really, it's an incredibly rewarding life. We're very lucky.
Yeah, you can imagine, In the United States and other countries, how have you seen the veterinary community since you started? Was it a slow evolution to accept it and start using acupressure or acupuncture, or did it happen pretty quickly?
I think it's been a slow progression, and not in a bad way, just, you know, to people wrapping their head around new ideas and be open to something else that can help the animals. And it's like the people who want to learn acupressure, vets or non-vets, are just so keen on it. The ones who want to do it and learn it and offer it to their clients, they're just right there like that. So I don't know exactly how to answer that, other than to say the people who've wanted to, it's like people who are very Western oriented versus people who are more open. It's not a novelty any longer, which is great.
Are you starting to see vets who are not trained in it still referring people to?
Very much so. Absolutely. And I think that's a good indicator of the growth.
A number of our graduates actually work in veterinary clinics, and quite a few of them actually, and quite a few of them head up the complementary modality section of veterinary clinics, because that is growing. There are things the vets can do really, really well, and then there's a point which, frankly, drugs and don't work, and certain things they'll turn to complementary therapies to help, especially with old age issues, aging issues for a dog or a cat. They're going to find that that's a better solution at this time. A lot of vets don't want to keep throwing drugs at animals either. So we're seeing that shift, and we're, you know, a lot of people are realizing they're not, Western isn't the only answer, and that's why it is growing so much, especially now, since a lot of humans are taking, then they want to help their animals as well. They're saying, oh golly, I need a massage, or oh golly, I need to go and see an acupressurist and get relief from whatever the pain or the issue is for them. So they see it in their dog as can't get up very well, or just isn't jumping into the car anymore, or the arthritis is taken hold, and how do you make that more comfortable for the animal? They don't want to see their animal hurting.
Yeah, absolutely. I was wondering if you could go a little deeper too, just to talk about how, as an acupressure practitioner, you take into account all aspects of the animal and how traditional Chinese medicine looks at that, because it's different. I mean, some of the things that the concepts are a little different than the way in the Western world we're used to looking at connections between things and how different meridians are connected to different organs and things like that. I was wondering if you could go a little deeper with that.
Sure.
Sure. Okay. Well, basically, the whole body is connected. You know, if you are scared, for instance, the adrenaline goes into your body, right? Mm-hmm. That changes the whole energetics of the body. Animals have it too. They have adrenal glands on top of the kidney in the same way that we do. Say you're going to take an exam. Your stomach gets really scrunchy. Some people need to eat. Some people can't eat. You know, mm-hmm. whatever that is. Well, when animals are, you know, not able to, you know, comfortably feel their stomach, if they're scared about something, they're being put to a test, they're going to feel that too. Grief would be another thing. So in looking at the entire animal, we use a technique called the four examinations, which is the traditional Chinese medicine way of looking, getting a sense of the entire animal. How is it coping? The big deal is, how is this animal coping in its environment? Mm-hmm. How is it functioning? Is it a happy animal? Is it a sad, timid animal? Is it an angry animal? So that's important. Emotions are very much part of the animal's being. Mm-hmm. Is enough fluids circulating to the surface of the skin? Then they'd have dry skin. You know, you can see everything that's going on internally, according to Chinese medicine, externally. Mm-hmm. For instance, the association of the liver, for instance, with the nails, claws, or hooves. Mm-hmm. If their hooves are, you know, dry and cracked, or nails are dry and cracked, we know that there's kind of a, we can see on the outside, there's an imbalance going on with the liver. We identify that. After thousands of years of study and observation, Chinese medicine doctors understood that very clearly, that, say, the eyes are not doing well. The acuity, or you've got pink eye or something, you can use a particular organ, in this case it is the liver again, to affect how well the eyes are functioning. And it's not just today, it's all year round. It's how the animal functions within the environment in the summer, in the spring, in the fall. And, you know, it is the winter. Does they do winter things, you know, behaviors that we can watch an animal do? Mm-hmm. So does this kind of explain it? Do you want me to get more defined?
Yeah, I think to me, of course, this is, you know, fascinating, and I love it. So I think it would be worth expanding on, because I can imagine that other people are, you know, as you hear more, it's like, okay, you know, it helps to hear how all these things are taken into consideration. And people who are watching, please feel free to post your questions too, as we're talking too.
The other thing that we make use of in the acupressure session is the use of the association points. And those are all located along the bladder meridian, or the dorsal aspect of the animal's body. And so there's a series of points that will give you an indication of how that particular meridian is functioning, and help you to hone in on imbalances within the body. And then come up with a session plan of acupoints that will address the issues that are being presented. In addition to one of the assessment process of the four exams, of looking at, is the animal limping? Is there discharge from the nose or eyes or ears? Does the animal smell differently than it should? Certain smells indicate an imbalance in particular meridians as well. So it's a whole host of really observation and assessment that leads the practitioner to be able to come up with the appropriate acupressure session plan. And as Amy was saying, it's all dynamic. So what mm-hmm. an animal presents with one day will be likely very different the next day. So it's again reusing those techniques of observation, and making your session plan particular for that animal at that time.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's even interesting, when I was learning, you know, to find out that we take into consideration, even when they were born, what was going on, mm-hmm. And the time of year, and you know, everything, because you do a history and ask those questions. So, and you know, the elements too come into play. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that, to share with people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tend to use the five element theory, which is, remember, Chinese medicine is made up of a number of theories. One of the theories you just heard me talk about is the idea that what's happening inside, it's called the law of integrity. Inside is expressed outside, but there are other theories as well. The yin yang theory is basic because it's part of the Tao. And then there's the five element theory, which came a little later. It's you know, still thousands of years old, but it helped get away from creating almost like a somewhat scientific way of looking at how to address physical and emotional issues. It's made up of, we call them elements, but they're really phases of transformation, having to do with the seasons and the shifts. So, you know, right now we're heading into metal, which is the fall. As things are getting colder, we're having to think about ingathering, bringing warmer energy internally. And so that during the winter, we have enough resources physically. We've rested, you know, we're going to get more rest. We're going to sleep more. The animals are going to sleep more. They're going to sleep curled up. If you have a dog or a cat, a horse is going to seek more shelter. Animals know what to do in each of the seasons to cope with that environment. What's interesting is if they don't, that's an indicator. Mm-hmm. It is an indicator that something is out of balance. So if you have you've got me using horses all the time. I was thinking, if you have a horse that's standing out in the wind and the cold and the rain, where there's a shelter that they could be in, something is not right. Something's not right. You've got to look at what that imbalance is going to be. What's mm-hmm. going on? Is that animal too hot internally? Then you have to work with that to cool the animal internally. Too, because the odds are they should be taking shelter in some shape or form. So you've got the what we call elements, but it really has to do with, you know, it's fire is during the summer, for instance. We've got earth in the fall, late summer. Oh, there are five seasons in Chinese medicine, not just four, because you have late summer. And when you look at that energetically, the smells of late summer are so different than the verdant green of the rich growth time of the heat of summer. It's more the beginning of going into the when they're going to be reaping the crops. And so it's starting to nourish in a very different way. The smells of late summer has a sweeter smell, a heavier smell. Animals start eating more. They want more grasses. They want to start consuming to build and get ready for the colder weather. So that's what the elements are about. They're kind of a good way of classifying information mm-hmm. about the animal. That's how I use it. Water, for instance, is considered old age. Each one has life, season, and when you're in the winter of your life, you're into old age. So it's very poetic. It's more metaphors. Five element theory is a metaphor for how life functions cyclically. Does that help?
Yeah, that's wonderful. And as you're talking, it actually makes me want to ask about your connection with animal communication, because to me, there's a connection there when you're doing this work, and just the fact that you have to slow down and observe with this or take in. So maybe just, do you find that animal communication comes into play in the work that you do?
Remember Nancy talked about healing intent early on. Okay. Mm-hmm. And even before, we have this whole pre-session to before you're actually working and touching the animal at all, in which you have to tune into the animal. And the more you can, you know, tune into where this animal is, both physically and psychologically, the better. You know, you have, your understanding will be a lot deeper. And if you have skills in animal communication, I really think that's powerful stuff. For instance, when you're communicating with them, animals think in imagery, correct? Quite a bit. And if you can envision for the animal what your intention is in terms of healing and health, that's super stuff. That really brings them to the same table as a partner in the acupressure session.
Inviting them in to participate.
Yeah. And that
and through the animal communication, it's great.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot to it.
Yeah. It's wonderful because it all goes back to giving them a voice, giving them, as you said, being a partner, being a part of.
Yeah, it's a good way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that idea.
It's good stuff.
But your intention is as important as the animal's arrival to share it with you.
Yeah. Yeah. And your energy too, right? Just being a good grounded,
mm-hmm.
clean energy, energetic space too.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, do animals know if you're thinking about your grocery list. They'll let you know very quickly. You're really focused on your grocery list,
nighttime.
Or the fact that you have to go pick up your son at school or whatever,
right.
They'll let you know it. Over and out.
go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I interrupted you. So I'm wondering about people who are watching and who might have questions but are holding back. But I'm wondering if people want to post anything, just letting us know. There is a question. Joanne, thank you for your question. Can acupressure help with behavior change or depression? One of my dogs has recently transitioned, and my other dog has not been herself since. Appetite has changed, and she seems more distant and has been having more colitis flare-ups. Blood work is basically normal, and she recently had a seizure.
Wow. So we would look that, just from that description, I would look at lung, because that has to do with grief. Mm-hmm. And literally, you cannot, when you're grieving, you cannot take a deep breath. The walls of your lung thicken. In thinking it through, the whole digestive process gets constrained and constricted when you're holding tight. And lung has to do with lung, large intestine, the two together, has to do with holding on. This animal is contracting, is holding on. I'm sorry, I've had a cold the past week. You can take another glass of water.
It's been going around.
Hmm?
Take your time.
So I think your point is that there would be very specific acupressure points having to do with helping release some of that constriction the animal is feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having my lung. I think this affected my lung.
Right. You're just not connected.
And one of the other things about lung is this animal's gone into kind of a survival mode. Just so you think, I'd like you to think of it in terms of this for this animal. Things are shutting down because they're grieving. And think about that process, what that's about.
So it sounds like this dog would be a good candidate for
acupressure.
Yeah. Thank you very much for that information. I hope that's helpful. Thank you for sharing that question with us. I wonder if there's anything we haven't talked about that just stands out to you that's important or interesting that that I haven't covered as far as the questions that you'd want to.
I think we should talk about the future of what's happening, you know, the transition we're going through in Tallgrass, because I think it creates a whole different wealth of information for people. We're going to be actually closing our school as it is in Colorado. But we have affiliates around the world who are going to be teaching the Tallgrass program. The exciting part is how much it's expanding, and it's going fairly quickly. I mean, new instructors, we're training these people. These are people who have been through the Tallgrass program and want to expand their knowledge and continue to learn Chinese medicine. And we're going to be turning into kind of a more of a resource. In fact, our name is changing. By the end of the year, the name will be Tallgrass Animal Acupressure Resources. There'll be more YouTube,
more blogs.
More just more rich information.
We're going to take a look at focusing on very particular activities and offering shorter, more in-depth courses as well, that are courses in the sense of you're learning information, but not courses that will be associated with any accreditation as a school.
But there will be other instructors, and we have instructors in England, we have Australia, Canada right now, and we're working toward instructors in the United States as well, that will be teaching the entire program. So that's going to be an interesting future to see this out. It's a different way of looking at how we've been working for the past 20 some years, 30 years.
Mm-hmm. There'll also be more resources in the sense of additional charts, possibly some smaller ebooks, smaller but more available. That's where we're headed. User friendly is where we're going.
Oh, wonderful. So advice for people who are watching this and thinking, well, maybe this is something I want to start to do. What would their next steps be at this point?
Stand by. That's really what, by the
unless
beginning of the year,
this 5 months from now.
By 2020, it'll be very clear how we're transforming. And you know, life is a form of transformation. It's constant, and this is where we're headed with it too. It's just like Chinese medicine. You don't stay in one place because everything is constantly dynamically changing. And I think it's a very exciting, you know, it's going to be expressed in a whole different way. New things.
Yeah, and I wanted to have, I don't know, talking about technology, I don't know why, but I had your website address ready to pop up on the screen, and for some reason it's not showing. So I'm going to type it in and hope that works. So what is your website address in case people want to go there?
It's www.animalacupressure.com.
And acupressure is spelled with one C. That's often the...
As we all know.
Yeah, you're going to... It's easier to get there if you spell it correctly.
There it is.
You got it.
Oh, there you go. Perfect. That looks perfect. And, you know, it's a huge site at this point, so wander through it. There will be a new site, the resources site. Mm-hmm. Nancy's working diligently on it. And there's the change is a healthy change because it'll bring more acupressure to people at different levels. And that's what we're after. You know, the people who want to be practitioners, that's exciting. It'll be available. All over the world. We have Germany. I just realized we forgot to mention Germany as well. And books are being, all our materials are being translated into German at this time. So this is a totally, you know, it is growing and the awareness is there. And that's what's exciting about what we're doing.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful. you know, as people become more open to it and they're, you know, asking about, well, you know, can that help my animal? And it's just so wonderful to have this modality available and spreading out throughout the world that we can better help our animals and kind of come more in tune with the way that they are on this earth, and they're so connected to the earth. And that's what I feel like this is. It's really an incredible modality. So if people are interested, you can go to that website, animalacupressure.com, and reach out to Tallgrass, Nancy and Amy. And, you know, if you have any questions for me as well, you can always go to intuitivetouchanimalcare.com. That's my website. And I'm just,
They can sign up for our newsletter so they can stay abreast of what we're doing. We'll keep them posted.
Okay, wonderful. And they can do that through your website?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
It's your website. Yeah.
Great. Wonderful. Well, I feel very blessed to have you both on tonight, to have trained with you. I feel very blessed, and to get to hear even more. It's like this wealth of knowledge and experience. And, you know, I encourage everybody who's watching and has an interest in this to go to the website and just check it out, see what's on there. And if people want to find a practitioner, by the way, I forgot to ask about that. Where should they go for that?
You can go to our website, and on the navigation bar that runs horizontally, there is a listing for practitioners. It'll drop down, says practitioner locator, and then they're assembled by states and countries. And all their information is there.
Perfect. Great. So check that out, everyone, and spread the news. The animals need this. And I appreciate everyone who's been here tonight, you know, share this. And thank you, Amy and Nancy, again, for being here.
You're welcome. Most welcome.
Thank
you. It's been a pleasure working with you at all times.
Yes.
Thank you. And have a wonderful evening. Take care.
Rub my belly, rub my belly, rub my belly, my belly, my belly. Rub my belly, rub my belly, rub my belly, my belly, my belly. I like my ears rub, I like my paws rub, I like my back rub, I like my tail rub, I like to relax, a massage and some snacks, it's my favorite thing to do, but if you really wanna know what I like, listen close. Rub my belly, rub my belly, rub my belly.